Saúde boa, tchau.
Hello, and welcome to the Tiger's Den. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Tiger's Den, the official LSU podcast of the Dome Patrol United network of podcasts. I am your host, Scott, and I am in a great fired up mood tonight. LSU came out last week and, you know, kind of showed us some stuff. We were talking about last show, you know, what were they going to show? What kind of team was this going to be? Are we going to win any SEC games? You know, and although Mississippi State is kind of middle of the road to the bottom tier of SEC, I think that it showed that we can play with the big boys in the SEC. We might not win them all, but we're going to be competitive in our games. LSU won 28-25, and honestly, it really wasn't that close. But it was a very entertaining game. I bring in my co-host Wes to discuss and talk about that, plus much more. We will talk about next week. We're going to go around the SEC a little bit and talk about their games and just overall talk about the Tigers in general. So Wes, welcome to the show. How are you doing this fine evening?
Doing good. Tiger win, beginning SEC play against you know, going into the game, I think we were all like 50-50 of whether or not this was going to be a win, and especially how the game went against last year against Mississippi State. There's lots of reasons to expect that we could have lost this.
Yeah. So I guess let's jump into it. The first thing I want to talk about is defensive side of the ball, because I did see a lot of, I guess it was kind of complaints, but it was mostly during the game about the three-man front that we were running. And man, it was working. Like, and I don't think that that's going to be the case every week. I think that particularly with the air raid, having a three-man front and having and adding another cornerback or safety was the plan for this game. And that's something that I'd like to see, where last year you look at Bo Pelini and it was like, it was the same game plan for every game. There was no creativity. There were no changes made. It seems like Durante Jones is game planning for each week based on the team we're playing, which is what you see really in the professional level. And what their game plan was, rush three and then make the quarterback beat you. Keep the ball in front of you. Our safeties and cornerbacks were playing back. They were keeping the ball in front of them, and they were making great tackles in the open field, and it was working.
Yeah, I mean, and let's be real clear. Let's not look at the final score first. Let's talk about the entire game. This game was 21-3 with 26 seconds left in the third quarter. Like, so we're talking about 75% of the game is over and it's 21-3. Now, obviously some things happened. The LSU defense worked for three quarters. In the end, we took the extreme of what we were doing in the defense and kind of went into a prevent, also only rushing three. That didn't work. As far as stopping them from scoring, it slowed them down.
You also went to kind of a four-man front later in the game, which it's like they were running the three-man front and it was working, but they started getting kind of nervous about, like, they didn't quite understand why it was working so well, and they were getting a little shaky about it, and so they went to a four-man front, and that's kind of when Mississippi State scored. But again,
they had to take long drives, though. It took them a while to score each time. So, I mean, LSU had a good game plan. If we would have had one sustained offensive drive, like anywhere in the game, because I mean, our touchdowns, we'll talk about that, was long touchdowns.
Right.
If we would have had any kind of clock eating, any type of successful sustained offensive drive, any time in the second half, you know, it would have been a very different game and it wouldn't have been a close at the end. They would have had one less score and we would have had one more.
And I think the most impressive thing about the defensive performance was they did it without the best player on the defense. Stingley didn't play. And if we can do that when Stingley doesn't play, what can we do when he does? I mean, he's legitimately the best corner in the country. He's going to be a top draft pick. I mean, we did that without him. And if Durante can make a game plan each week like that and add Stingley to it, I mean, it's going to be amazing. The problem right now is kind of like, and we'll switch to the offensive side, like you mentioned, we can't sustain drives. All of our touchdowns are these long, quick hits. And it's mostly because our offensive line isn't great and we can't run the ball because I don't know if it's because the running backs aren't, it's got to be the offensive line. I would have to think, because the running backs are talented running backs. We're not going to get Emery back, which we'll talk about in a few minutes too, but you know, Corey Connor's a good back. Davis Price, I think, is a good back. I think he showed last year he was a good back, but the offensive line just isn't blocking. And with the type of, it's almost like, it's like the Saints. When you have a spectacular defense like they do, like LSU does and like the Saints do, you need to have long, sustaining ball control drives. The Saints are able to do that. LSU is not.
Yeah, it's maddening. And it's like when we choose to run and when we choose to pass, both also don't make sense. It doesn't seem like there's a consistent kind of game plan in. And I'm also, I mean, Max Johnson picks weird times to, one, he scrambles, he does okay kind of scrambling, but then he scrambles to a part where he has 2.5 more seconds to throw the ball and he rushes it and throws it in half a second. And he throws it inaccurately. He does not rush to throw an accurate ball. And so I feel like when he gets nervous, when he gets any pressure, even when he escapes it, which I think he does a very good job of escaping it, he doesn't mentally escape it. So, and again, we're talking about, if you take away the three long touchdowns, this is a terrible day for Max Johnson. And again, we can't just take away the three long touchdowns. There's a 40, 50, and 60-yard touchdown. But if you do, we're talking about, you know, less than 120 yards passing.
Right. So on that note, Max Johnson was 17 for 27, 280 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 pick. What I'll say about Max Johnson is that I don't necessarily there's two things. One, I don't necessarily think that it's all his fault. The inaccuracy is his fault. Scrambling and getting away from pressure is good. He's always looking to throw. And when he throws, when he's rolling out and like that, he's not accurate. I think that it's been coached into him that he cannot run the ball, that we don't have the backup quarterbacks for you to run the ball. Like, if you get hurt, that's it. And I think they're scared to let him run the ball. One of the best things about him is that he can run the ball.
For sure.
And it's going to help your running game because they have to respect, and your passing game, because they have to respect the fact that the quarterback can run and scramble. And I think they are holding him back. And it's maddening, like you said. It drives me nuts because there are so many times where he has open room to run and either nobody's open or he's holding the ball or whatever. And it's like, run, but they're not letting him. He's looking to pass first, which you're supposed to do as a quarterback. But if there's room and nobody's open, run. Don't try to squeeze the ball in. Don't try to make a tight pass when you know you're not that accurate. Run the ball. So that's my first thing. My second thing is Max Johnson has started 6 games as a quarterback. He, in his 6 starts, he has never thrown for less than 3 touchdowns in 6 starts. I don't know what his yardage is, but it's pretty damn good. We were spoiled by Joe Burrow. Before Joe Burrow, if you looked at the stats through 6, Max Johnson stats through 6 games, compared to what we had before Joe Burrow, because before Joe Burrow, we were a run first team. The thing was, we always said, we don't have a quarterback. We run the ball, we don't have a quarterback. if you looked at his stats through six games before Joe Burrow, you would be like on your hands and knees praising the guy, saying this is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, I agree with. So I think that multiple things. One, 17 for 27 for a college quarterback is not bad. This is, it's not the NFL. People aren't throwing for 75% completion percentage. Also, in the college game, I feel like if this game looked, if I looked at the game and was like, oh, the game plan was to run the ball like this and do this, and then that opened up the downfield, then I agree with that and it's a good game plan. I'm not sure if I'm seeing that. If we had these exact same stats, Max Johnson stats, everything that, but we had ran the ball for 130 yards instead of 60, I'm like, great game plan. This worked. This is exactly what you need to do. This is good balance. We're getting these long passes because of what my fear is that we're completing these long passes and he's getting this more than three touchdowns a game because our wide receivers are amazingly better than everybody else on the field.
Right.
Is my fear. We know the college game receivers get super wide open. We see quarterbacks who are really good in college because their receivers have a 3 yard cushion. And then they get the NFL where people have a half yard cushion and they're not good quarterbacks anymore.
Right.
I'm worried that we're getting by so much about how fast and athletic and big our receivers are. Cause we've got some NFL wide receivers on our college team and all over the place. And get him the ball some more. What in the world are they doing?
Yes. They definitely need to get best ball. I don't know. Let's see how many, you know, on that long touchdown to the tight end, I thought it was him. But it wasn't.
No. Besh had two catches for 13 yards.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get him the ball more. And it nothing drives me crazier than after the game when Coach O's like, oh, yeah, we got to get him involved more in the game plan. Then fucking do it. Stop telling me you're going to do it and do it.
Yeah. And since you mentioned it, I will just say that touchdown to Cole was 100% not thrown to Cole. And ball should have been intercepted by two defenders.
Yes.
If Cole didn't happen to come across and catch him.
Have two receivers in the same area.
And
like
I know
that.
they were talking about it on the broadcast. And normally when I hear something, I'm like, you guys shut up. Y'all have no idea. Clearly he was not throwing the ball to Cole there at all.
Right. And it's lucky he was there because it definitely would have been picked.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Somebody ran the wrong route on that one. It was probably Cole. But
probably what are you gonna do?
Yeah, and kind of to your point, right now we have superior wide receivers, but when you start getting in with Florida, Bama, you're not gonna have that, and you're not gonna be able to make these big plays like you're making now. And we need to be able to control the ball, keep their offense off the field, the opposing team's offense off the field, and get some kind of run game going. I don't see where it happens this year. I just don't see through four games. I don't see how we get a run game going. And it's just not there. The offensive line isn't there. We're just not going to have it. And we're going to rely on the big plays. And it's going to end up biting us at the end.
So we had 27 passes. We ran the ball 27 times. Now, that's a little misleading because four of those are Max Johnson. But, I mean, we actually ran the ball less than we passed it. And you're talking about Kiner had four carries and Goodwin had three. And Davis Price doesn't have a terrible line of 13 carries of 51 yards, but he clearly wasn't, like, getting the big bursts and things like that. He had an 18-yard carry, but besides that, it was a very normal day, like, terrible day for him. I don't know. I'm curious what the game plan is of this is now two games this year where we've said we should have gotten the ball in Kiner and Goodwin's hands more. Like, not a we. Coach O,
yes,
is saying I should have gotten the ball in their hands more. Like, it's time to get the ball in their hands more.
And I don't think it's not necessarily. I mean, look, he's not the offensive coordinator. We've talked about, he's more of a CEO. And
yes, agreed.
You know, so I need to hear this from the offensive coordinator. Like, why are we not getting the ball more to them? Or Coach O needs to convey to the offensive coordinator, hey, they need to get the ball more. Something's got to happen because, I mean, I thought Goodwin looked pretty decent on some of his runs. and Kiner as well. Davis Price, I still, you know, he still goes down too easily from what I see. I don't know. I'm glad we got the victory. You know, a lot of people were complaining or upset about the game. Look, it's an SEC win. It ain't shit to complain about.
And here's the deal. We have gotten better every single week of the season.
100%.
Like four weeks, we have definitely, we've played, besides the first week, we've played better competition each of the last 3 weeks. And as a team, we have improved. The coaches have definitely improved. And like you said, I want to be real clear. Our best player did not play. And I'll tell you right now, if Mississippi State scored 25 without Stingley on the field, they do not score 25 with Stingley on the field.
100%.
Definitely doesn't happen. He's shadowing somebody and shutting down somebody on their team. So
it's, right. John Emery lost his appeal for whatever reason.
So clearly there's stuff that we don't know and probably will never know. But
there's got to be some kind of story.
The story that we were told isn't the story, because if it was, the NCAA, like, yep, they'll be jerks about money and stuff like that, but they're not just screwing over some kid's education and ability to play football. They're not trying to get sued. So there's more to this story that wasn't pitched to us the way that it probably really happened.
Yeah, something went down. Something's, I don't know.
No reason. I mean, I can't speculate. I have no idea.
Right. But I mean, knowing what we know,
he's not coming back.
He's not coming back. But I'm saying is, like, knowing what we think we know was presented to the NCAA, the reasons that were given publicly, he should be reinstated. So the fact that he's not just tells you that there's more to this
for sure.
Story, for sure. So you're not going to have Emery, arguably probably the best running back on the team. And I don't know, would he be eligible to come back next year? Is it his last year?
He's done.
So, you know, they say they're going to keep on trying to appeal. At this point, it's really not going to happen. He should just prepare for the next level, if he can make it on the next level.
For being an undrafted free agent somewhere.
Yeah, or going to the CFL or something. Yeah. I don't know. So LSU wins 28-25. You know, I thought, we talked about the defense. You know, they did give up a lot of yards, but that was kind of the way I think the defensive plan was designed. And I don't think you're going to see a three-man front probably anymore with the rest of the teams we're playing. So I'm very happy with the win. Anytime you get an SEC win, it's great. I am extremely happy with the win. Could we have played better? Yes. Oh, I remember what my point was. You talked about how the team is getting better every week. If you took this team now and went back and played UCLA, I think we'd win that game.
Yeah.
I think Mississippi State's better than UCLA. And that just shows the improvement in the coaching. They just got to keep on improving every week. I still don't think you're going to beat the Bamas of the world.
Yeah.
We don't play Georgia this year. I don't think we would beat Georgia.
We would not. I think that Georgia would be worse for us than Alabama this year.
Quite possibly.
I think their defense and their off is. I think Georgia's better than Alabama this year.
Yeah, you're not going to blow out any teams. Every game's going to be close. We're going to be competitive every game. It's going to come down to a couple of plays. Basically, it's going to come down to either a field goal or their quarterback throwing a pick or our quarterback throwing a pick or getting a turnover. The way the game started was just amazing, with the defense getting a turnover like right off the bat. You know, when you do stuff like that and you win a turnover battle, you're going to win games more often than not. So I was definitely pleased with that. We're going to move on. One new segment that we're going to kind of have.
One thing I was going to say about
the Mississippi
State.
Sure.
One thing I thought that was kind of a crazy thing when I was looking over the stats that I don't know if I've ever seen before. Mississippi State had 10 people with a reception. LSU had 9 people with a reception. I can't imagine being an announcer in college football and needing to know the number and name of 19 different people that are going to catch the ball in a football game.
Yeah,
it's insane to me. I mean, that's just the people catching the ball, much less everybody playing. I just thought that was crazy that we had that many people on each team. I mean, that's classic SEC stuff, but
yeah,
that many people caught a pass.
All right. Is there anything else on this game?
Good.
Nope. You're good. All right.
Good win. You know, like I said, going into it, I don't know how I felt going into this game. I think it's gonna be like that most games,
to be honest.
So the way that we were up, I was definitely worried at the end. But this is a great start to SEC play, and again, the team's improving every week.
Definitely. So in a new segment for the show, we are going to go around the SEC, talk about a little bit about some of the other games that the SEC had this week, because quite honestly, we're going to be playing these teams, and it's good to kind of, you know, look forward and look and see what other teams are doing, because, you know, whether you make it to the SEC championship game or not is going to be based on the other teams and their wins and losses. So the first game, this was kind of a no-brainer, Bama against Southern Miss. Bama won 63-14. Bama's 4-0, Southern Miss is 1-3. Not going to spend a whole lot of time on that game. There's really no need to do that. Georgia beat Vanderbilt 62-0. Interesting that I saw at the end of the first quarter, not the first half, the first quarter, Georgia was up 35-0.
Yep.
I mean, that's just...
So the... As far as off total yards, Georgia had 532 total yards. Vanderbilt had 77 yards. And again, Vanderbilt's not going to beat Georgia, but Vanderbilt's Vanderbilt. It's not, you know, Southeastern Oklahoma Technical School. It's still Vanderbilt. And they have won a football game this year against somebody.
All right.
Like 77 total yards to 532. It's terrible.
I really think, you know.
And it was at Vanderbilt's home field too. Like,
right. That's God. That's
hopefully it wasn't their homecoming game.
God, I hope not. You know, Bama's one, Georgia's two. I really think every year, Georgia, and I think I talked about this before when they had the preseason rankings, people rank Georgia high and they always wind up shit in the bed. But this year, I think they've got it figured out. Like, I think they're going to give Bama a run for their money. So we'll see on that. Next game was another SEC matchup, was Arkansas versus Texas A&M. Arkansas coming in with the upset, winning 20-10, defeating Texas A&M. Arkansas was ranked 16. A&M was ranked 7th. That was a very entertaining game. Arkansas, they have improved greatly with their, you know, new coaching staff. I think he's in his second season, I want to say. But they have just really improved a lot. That will be a tough game for LSU.
Well, Arkansas is number 8 now, and this week they play Georgia in Georgia.
That's, wow.
So we'll see how much they've improved. But yeah. their defense, tell you what, they shouldn't have been able to treat A&M that way. It was a pretty awful game from them.
Yeah. Moving on, Florida defeated Tennessee 38-14. I think you probably saw that coming. Florida was number 11. I don't know what they are now. But Florida is 3-1. Tennessee is 2-2.
Number 10.
Missouri lost kind of a heartbreaker to Boston College. That game was pretty close to the end. They lost 41-34.
It was an overtime.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, I do see that now. It wasn't overtime. So a very, you know, good game. Missouri, you know, really kind of bottom tier SEC team, but to see them go in and play Boston College that well was pretty impressive. Next, Kentucky defeated South Carolina 16-10. Man, Kentucky's undefeated right now, and they are 2-0 in the SEC. I said this kind of at the beginning of the season. That game, I believe, is sandwiched right before Bama.
Before the Georgia,
So I kind of see that as a trap game for LSU, that Kentucky game.
They play Florida this week.
They play Florida this week. Oh yeah, they'll probably lose, but
in Kentucky.
I'll be interested to see that game. I think that's going to be closer than a lot of people think. I wonder what the point spread is on that.
So, but Kentucky's quarterback threw for 102 yards in their win, and it was 16-10. I mean, I'm not sure if they're actually.
I don't know. Is South Carolina really that bad?
I hadn't gotten to watching stuff. I mean, they lost to Georgia 40-13. They beaten East Carolina, and they beat Eastern Illinois 46-0. Which Who knows?
So I'm looking, you know, they played their two SEC wins are Missouri and South Carolina. So I guess Kentucky hadn't really beaten anybody. But I still do expect that game to be a little bit closer than people think it's going to be, the Florida Kentucky game. You know, I'm sure that's a prediction sure to go wrong. And then the final SEC game this week was Auburn defeating Georgia State 34-24. Now that game is, that 34-24 is very deceiving. That basically came down to Auburn scoring a touchdown with, I think it was 46 seconds left in the fourth quarter to move ahead of Georgia State. And then Georgia State was trying to come back and end up throwing a pick six in desperation. So that's how they got that. But I mean, that was a seriously close game. I was pulling for Georgia State at that point because, you know, you start kind of pulling for the underdog. There's no way in hell that game should have been that close. And
weren't
it was
TJ Finley pride all the way.
Yes. TJ Finley, you know, Bo Nix was struggling all game. TJ Finley is the one that came in and led that last drive.
Best drive I've ever seen TJ Finley drive.
Yeah. Like it was like,
without a doubt,
it was crazy. If you don't know, if you're not an LSU fan, for whatever reason, you're listening to the show and you're not an LSU fan, TJ Finley was the quarterback at LSU and transferred out. The fact that TJ Finley could transfer out to another SEC school and play and Emory is not playing is just baffling to me, but that's whatever. So there's a little, possibly a little bit of quarterback controversy brewing in at Auburn where I don't know.
I think Finley's starting this week.
I would have to think he is, but man, I don't think they're going to cut bait with Bo Nix that soon. I really think that Bo Nix will start the game, but I think he's going to have a short leash. I could be very wrong, but I don't see them starting Finley right now, not based off of one drive. Did he look great? Yes, but I just don't know. And it will be interesting to see how Finley plays, if he does, versus LSU. Because we know what he has, right? We know what kind of quarterback he is. If we get pressure, he's not going to perform well. If you let him sit back there, he's going to pick you apart all day. But if you get pressure, he's not going to perform well. And Auburn's offensive line is just as bad as our offensive line. And obviously, we've talked about last show, our front four is really dominant and will hopefully get a lot of pressure and destroy this offensive line. Anyway, that brings us into our game preview for next week.
We have to stop the run.
Yes, we have to stop the run. They have some very good running backs. Let's see. I was kind of looking to see what their running backs did last week.
One ran for 62 yards, one ran for 60, but Hunter and Bigsby are both good. Bigsby is actually the better kind of running back, but yeah. they're both good.
If you stop the run and make the quarterback beat you, we'll be successful. And then when he drops back, you got to get pressure on him and you got to bring it from the front four. I don't know. I haven't heard any word if Stingley's playing this week.
It doesn't look like it. He was in a boot and they said today he was, him and his family had said he was seeing a foot doctor.
Damn, that's not good. That is not good. Maybe he'll go see the same doctor that Brennan saw. I don't know. So, yeah, that's not good. You would love to have him for this game. But the way our defense played last week, I think they've proven that they can win at least without him. This, I think, is going to be a battle of defenses. Which team can make the opposing quarterback the most uncomfortable, and then what quarterback can step up under that pressure and perform and lead their team? Which one can make the least amount of mistakes? And I think it's going to be another game again where turnovers are going to be the key to the game. We got to get some drives together. I don't know that you're going to be able to hit big plays as much or as often against Auburn as you were against previous opponents.
Yeah, I think that one, I think that the Tiger Stadium is going to be pretty insane. This is going to be the first time in a while that we've had 100% attendance.
Absolutely.
In Death Valley. Auburn's a perfect game to bring them back in. And this is honestly, you know, for now, kind of a perfect thing of, as our opponents are getting a little bit better every week, not taking a huge bite off. I mean, we can play Auburn this week and then play Kentucky next week before we leave into Florida. This is kind of a good progression for the team to gradually play tougher and tougher people. This should be a game that LSU can win. I might actually feel better about this game after watching a little bit of the Auburn game last week than I did going to the Mississippi State, just because I think there's been some questions answered. So I at least feel there's some identity of the team. And I think that a loud home crowd can make a real big difference with either one of these quarterbacks, whether it's Finley or Nix.
Yeah. And, you know, you look at the freshmen, you know, that played for LSU last year, they haven't experienced the full Tiger Stadium Saturday night, full capacity, big game. I mean, that's got to pump you up.
Yeah, and it's an 8 o'clock game, too. Not even the 6 or 7. It's right. 8 o'clock. Like,
so we're going to be drunker than normal. Everybody's going to be lit. I mean, it's going to be crazy atmosphere. I wish I was going to tailgate, but we're actually going to go for the Florida game, I think, to tailgate at least, possibly go to the game if we can get tickets. But I couldn't do it this Saturday because of my daughter's birthday. Damn her. But it's definitely going to be a lit atmosphere. 8 o'clock is such a late start. But hey, it's just more time for LSU fans to party before the game. That's all it is. So, hopefully we can pull out the victory. I am, kind of like you said, cautiously optimistic, I guess is the right way to put it. That we can pull it. It's definitely a game we can win. I think it's going to be a close game. Like, I think all of our games are going to kind of be close. But we'll see. You know, I kind of have the feeling like I don't feel like I have in the past for LSU. Like, I have zero expectations right now. And so if we end up losing, it's like, well, I didn't have expectations we were going to do that win anyway. But if we win, I'm excited. So I don't know. It's kind of a weird feeling. Like, I haven't felt like that about LSU in a while. And I obviously am rooting for them to win. I don't want them to lose. I'm an LSU fan. I don't want them to lose. I want them to play their best ball and win the game. So
as much as it can too, I do like the fact LSU is favored by 3.5. So I think that's a reason for us to be cautiously optimistic that LSU is looking good and Auburn's looking like it has some problems right now.
Yeah. And I mean, like you said, if you look back at Auburn last week, that gives you confidence that you can win this game. Cause if Georgia State can do that to them, and maybe they were sleeping on Georgia State looking forward to this game. I don't know, but I'm for sure, if I'm a coach going back and look at the game plan Georgia State had offensively and defensively and trying to somewhat replicate the things they did, especially defensively, to give Bo Nix that much trouble to where he got pulled out of the game.
Well, and just for what it's worth, I mean, Georgia State, they lost their first two games of the year, 43-10 and 59-17 to Army and North Carolina, which North Carolina is a decent team this year. But, I mean, this is a team that was ripe to get blown out by an SEC team.
And oh, absolutely.
By Auburn at home and all that.
It'd be like us playing ULM or
be honest, if you watch the game, Georgia State beat Auburn during this game for all of the game until the last minute and a half.
Right.
And Auburn got a couple of helpful calls in the last drive that weren't great. Couple of weird things, but Georgia State won.
Right. They were physical. Like they were more physical than Auburn was. And if we can be like that and be more physical and be violent, we can win this game for sure. You have a score prediction?
I do. I think that LSU is going to win 21-19.
21-19. I also do think it's a close game. I'm going to say 27-24. Maybe even LSU kicking the last second field goal to win the game.
That's what kind of I'm wondering. I was thinking about changing my score to being like a 24-22, something like that, with the last second field goal taking it.
Yeah.
If it comes down to that, I'm confident in LSU.
I'm confident in Caden York can drive it and knock it in, and we can get down the field and get in field goal position and knock it in. Any final thoughts, Wes?
Kind of got reminded this week and reassured that the plan is still in place, that Miles Brennan could be back the week of October 30th, which is the bye week before the Alabama game. Not sure what that means when we say he can be back. Does that mean that he reappears October 30th and throws his first ball on Halloween, or reappears on October 30th as part of the team and is playing against Alabama? There's a lot of things that our team hasn't done great this year. I do think that Miles Brennan is a very talented quarterback. I don't know if he could come in his first week and lead us to a victory over Alabama. We've got a lot to see over the next four games. But that's an interesting talking point. LSU gets past this and kind of gets a little bit better. I mean, we could be going into this game with the UCLA loss being our only loss. So
yeah, that would be very
it's still interesting. It's interesting to think about.
Yes. And you know, look, as much as I praise Max Johnson and he deserves it, Miles Brennan's an upgrade at the position. I mean, he just is. And that's not
I mean, you give Max Johnson three more years of experience, and that's a different conversation. Like, I don't have a problem with that.
100%.
But Miles Brennan sat behind what's probably the greatest quarterback in the history of the college football game, and watched what he did, watched his work ethic, and learned all that. Like, Miles Brennan had a front row seat to all that stuff. Miles Brennan was rough the first few times he came in and played for LSU. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Why are we even talking about this guy? And then what he started off doing last year was excellent.
Yeah.
So Max Johnson has the same growth potential and all of
absolutely
mature and learn those things.
Right. You know, just Brennan's been there longer and he's more mature, and he, you know, he was going to be the starting quarterback. So my final thought is, and I meant to bring this up when we're talking about the Auburn game, and it's something we talked about before we started recording, but it's an interesting stat. So this will be my final thought. Auburn has not won a game in Tiger Stadium since 1999. That's unbelievable. Like, I Wes heard that stat today, and I think I did too. And I was just like, wow.
It seems unreal, because this seems like it'd be one that this is a, you know,
it's back and forth.
I figured that LSU would be up in the rivalry over the last few years, but that at least, I mean, and it also shows you what Death Valley is. I mean, but
yeah,
it's
and whenever we play Auburn, something crazy happens. Like, I mean, you have the earthquake game, you have the fire game where that building was on fire. I mean, I still remember that being at Auburn, and you just see these flames and smoke just coming from the side of the stadium. And you're like, is the stadium on fire? You know, because it looks so close. There is always something crazy that happens in this game. And it's usually a memorable one, and that's what makes this game great. And that's what makes the, you know, I'd say Auburn, Florida, and Bama are the three biggest games we play every year. And, you know, it's just a great rivalry. So hopefully we can pull out the victory, the Battle of the Tigers, you know, or the Auburn can't decide what the hell they are. If they're the Tigers, the War Eagles, the Plainsmen, I don't know what the fuck they are. I don't think they know what they are, but whatever. We're the Tigers, real Death Valley, Saturday night, 8:00, Tiger Stadium, Baton Rouge. If you can get there, get there. It's going to be an awesome atmosphere. I'm really jealous that I can't go, but, you know, kids. So that is all the show we have for you right now. We want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling your friends about the Don't Patrol United Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts for free, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, the Don't Patrol Podcast, the BS and Beer Saints Podcast, the Pelican Plunge, the Premier League Podcast, Take in the Over with Billy Gunn, and of course, the Tiger's Den. Follow each show on Twitter at Don't Patrol PCast, at Don't Patrol UK, at BS and Beer Media, at Taking the Over, at Tiger_podcast, and at Don't Patrol Prem. Follow us on Facebook and Twitch for live streams at twitch.tv/Don't Patrol Podcast. And if you want to listen to us the old fashioned way, you can always go to Don't Patrol Podcast.com. Say bye bye, donkeys.
Bye bye, 100% attendance, donkeys.
Good night, Tiger Nation.
Hey, fighting tigers, fight all the way. Hey, fighting tigers, win the game today. You've got to know how you're doing fine. Hang on to the ball and you hit the wall and stand right through that line. You gotta go for the touchdown. Run up the score. It might the tiger stay.